broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for September 11th in the year of our Lord, 2019. They call it the 18th anniversary since 9/11 occurred. Prayers for the victims, gratitude for the heroes, no doubt about it. Yesterday, we talked about a UK school bans skirts, enforces what they call gender-neutral dress code, which, again, on its face, I don't understand, because if it's gender-neutral, if girls can wear pants, guys can wear skirts, right? I mean, come on now. But nevertheless, very strange brew going on. They got a narrative, an agenda that is hostile to our culture, hostile to our way of life, hostile to our God-given beliefs of male and female, created them. Anyway, I got good news, though. A husband stood for 6 hours on a flight so his wife could sleep. Critics say, "I've never been that in love." I say, "I get it, and I'm grateful for it." Good for him. Also, a couple of folks at a school helped teacher deliver baby. She says they were my support people. Baby and mom are happy and well. That's phenomenal news as well. And this whacked out Mayor Pete, whatever the guy's name is, he thinks that the Bible okays abortion all the way up to their first breath. He says the woman in charge should be making the decision. And I think the guy's a nutcase. Anyway, there you go for that. I don't believe in pro-death at all. Again, they're bullying us if we believe in pro-life. Sad to say. And a kid got bullied over a t-shirt. He wanted to wear a University of Tennessee t-shirt, but he didn't have one. And so he basically made a sign out of paper, put it on his shirt, went to school. He's like 9 or 10 years old. Phenomenal effort there, but poor kid got bullied. But now the college is selling it. It's a great example of don't bully. And a great example of his creativity and what can happen, as far as I understand, a significant portion of the funds are going to anti-bullying efforts. I like that. We need to stop the bullying, folks, whether it be over political beliefs, whether it be over, you know, for children. Melania, the first lady, taking the lead on this. And I say good on her for doing so. I commend her. Second hour, though, yesterday, we had on Alan Phillips. He's a well-known, nationally recognized expert on vaccinations and he's a presenter on vaccine rights, etc. And we talked about why does the government pay billions of dollars for people who are injured by vaccines? Yeah, it prevents drug companies from being sued. Why is that the case? Over $4 billion have been paid out. And they say 99% of the cases don't even get reported. We talked about 49,000 children head back to school unvaccinated in Wisconsin. So people are getting the truth on vaccinations. But again, the fake news continues. I want transparency in vaccinations and in what goes on. And why do I get bullied? Because I don't believe in vaccinations. Now, let me be very clear when I say I don't believe in vaccinations. I, for the most part, don't believe in them. But I believe it's a risk-reward analysis. In other words, if I lived in a foreign country where there were all kinds of rampant diseases, might I decide that a vaccine in my risk-reward analysis made sense? I might. But in America, most of the vaccinations we take aren't necessary and are actually potentially very harmful. Well, they can't handle the truth in discussion. They can't handle the open, transparent, differing of opinion narratives that take place in the debate. All they want to do is bully and mock and, well, Sam, you're not a physician, so you don't know. Sam, you're a hater, or somehow you want to put everybody in society at risk. You're naive, you're ignorant, you're dumb, you're stupid, in fact, you're just putting everybody else at risk. Whether it's guns or vaccines or 9/11, they attack us on every front with an incredibly massive bullying message. Any other comments on that one, Kurt?
Well, the bullies have been after it forever. There's the bad guys and the good guys, you just like to eliminate the bad guys, you know.
Yes, sir. I agree. Well, Jack Ma just turned 55. Kurt, and he's celebrating. Do you know who Jack is?
Alibaba.
Roger that. Jack Ma, the founder of Alibaba, steps down as executive chairman on his 55th birthday. Had a massive celebration. So there you have that. Any tidbits on that one, Kurt?
Well, you know, it's this whole new world of online purchasing, et cetera, and Alibaba. Man, I'll tell you what, it's big amazing player. What you can do there. Yeah, big stuff.
You know what Jack's going to do,
even,
Kurt?
Even with the communist governments that, you know, are good in charge point. Of that whole Chinese thing.
Do you know what Jack's going to do, though? He's not going to ride off into the sunset, and he's not going to hang out playing golf, Kurt. Do you know what he's going
to
do?
He's not heading to Disney World or something?
Well, I mean, he might go there real quick as he takes a quick break. I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, he does not plan on taking his boots off and just sitting around. He's going to move into philanthropy efforts regarding education, Kurt.
Cool. Very good.
I hope he does it in a way that is free-based, or in other words, where people could choose what educational opportunities they want. I hope it's not a big money control of education, but I say, you know, more power to him. I hope it goes well, and I hope we can decrease the cost of education all around the world. I think it's totally possible, and leave it to the genius of the mind. Given to us by God to find a way to achieve that. And I hope he's open-minded and successful. And I hope he believes in free market education, Kurt. And if so, man, just think about a guy like that with plenty of cash, what he could do in that arena if he really chose to embrace the principles that would make it not only successful, but make sure that it's really true education, not indoctrination, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Time will tell what he does, but I find that intriguing, to say the least. All right, by the way, this is part of the economy. Remember they told you back in the day when Donald Trump was going to take office, just the mere mention of Donald's name was going to just tank the economy. And boy, howdy, once he got elected, man, I'm telling you, the economy would just run off the rails. It'll be just a firing bonanza. I mean, it'll just be crazy. Well, we told you about Amazon and how they're hiring a ton of people, right? Well, now so is Wendy's. Wendy's is hiring 20,000 new workers. The Wendy's nationwide chain wants to launch a breakfast menu nationwide, and they say they need 20,000 people to get it done, Kurt. I don't know. Wow. Is that the economy just melting right on down and crashing?
I mean, I can hardly go to any places where there's not a hiring now sign, Sam. And I mean, I was just in a bank or a credit union yesterday, and they were basically training two new employees there, and then the sign over to the side said, now hiring. And I just think you see it all around, and it's kind of the, I guess you'd call it a vicious cycle, or in other words, the opposite of it.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal cycle, but yeah.
People work and make money, and then they want to use it to buy things, et cetera, and make their life a little better. Instead of waiting for their government check, they're actually
going to work,
checking the economy.
Yeah, now what I find fascinating, amazing, though, is they think we need a minimum wage to make that happen, Kurt. And I submit to you that wages are going up. If you people have had a hiring sign up for very long, I would suggest maybe you offer a little bit more cash, and at some point there'll be this flash point where people will start rolling in, buddy.
That's right. It's just like, I don't know, it's supply and demand, and if you're going to pay enough, people are going to be there. On the other hand, if you're going to pay too little and, you know, want to force people to do something they don't want to do for the amount of money you're offering,
they might not be too excited. Now, I find it funny, though, too, then what they'll do is the bullies will come in and they'll say, you guys don't have an economic degree at all, do you? You guys don't even know what you're talking about, do you? And my response is, hey, why don't we just do a little experiment? Okay, why don't we take business A, and why don't you just start increasing every day on your sign, hiring at, you know, $8.25 an hour, and every day increase it a quarter. Tomorrow, $8.50, yeah. $8.75, $9, $9.50. Okay, and you tell me when people just start rolling in your door, and the higher you make it, I guarantee you, the numbers of people coming in will increase, Kurt. I promise you. In fact, I will bet $1 million on it.
Just like, on the other hand, let's say you are trying to sell something. Maybe you're selling, I don't know,
raw honey delivered directly to your door?
I don't know, whatever. Something that people know about the price of it per gallon. Like, say you're a gas station. Put out there $5 a gallon, see how much you get sold. Then drop it to $4, drop it to $3, drop it to $2. Drop it to $1 and just see which one gets you a little bit more activity at the pump. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there you go. So, I say to the bullies, you got to stop. But I find that it's interesting, to say the least, though, about the economy. And I'm proud of Wendy's for hiring 20,000 new people. And I realize it's not the highest end jobs of all. But you know what? One of the things I like about Dave, I know he's passed away, but the founder of Wendy's, you know, he really promotes adoption over murder, Kurt.
Yeah, imagine that, Sam. That's, I mean, he's not up there with the evil brought on to us by, like, the Chick-fil-A founder yet, you know, but he could be.
He can't, he's dead, but the company's certainly working on good things.
Yeah.
He set forth a legacy before he passed away, Kurt, that lives on and does some tremendous work. So there you have that. Now, I don't know if you know, but Donald Trump's in another tiff, like he always is, Kurt. And
surprise.
Trump says, I fired John Bolton. John Bolton says, no, I resigned. So there you have it. While they're bickering, though, Rand Paul and Ron Paul and Sam Bushman are all going to chime in. Here's Rand. Ready? Senator Rand Paul responds to the news that National Security Advisor John Bolton resigned. He said the chances of war will go down significantly now, Kurt. Amen to Rand. He's right. Yeah. Ron Paul, quote, better late than never. Bolton's firing gives Trump a chance to heed his instincts. Let's talk about that, and that relates to my comments. Kurt will chime in, too, coming up. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen, on 9/11. Ron Paul, better late than never. Bolton's firing gives chance Trump a chance to heed his instincts. Rand Paul responds and says, hey, man, getting rid of that guy, getting rid of John Bolton, the likelihood of going to war will be reduced significantly if we don't hire another hawkish person in his place. My response is I concur completely. I hope we lead with the Prince of Peace as our guideline or our example. And I pray that Donald Trump can go back to his campaign trail viewpoints, which is, you know, we got to diplomatically work through this. We can't just be in war everywhere. We can't be the world's cop. We got to back away, reduce foreign aid, reduce our spending, and defend America and make America great again. And I pray we can return to those things. You got comments, Kurt?
You know, I was thinking about this whole John Bolton thing, and do you remember... I'm pretty sure we were at some event where we got to meet him. I think it was probably at the National Taxpayers Union, some of those meetings, if I remember, back in Washington, D.C. And, you know, he's got that big old handlebar mustache and all that kind of stuff. And I was looking through a story about him from the CFR.org. They called him a sovereignty warrior at the time when the president chose him. This is March 23rd, 2018. This is their little, kind of a phrase about him. The president has selected the nation's premier champion of a narrow, defensive, and ultimately self-defeating approach to the U.S. role in the world. That's the CFR's little statement on John Bolton. If they're saying that he's a bad guy, then, you know, maybe he's not so bad. But the thing that I always feel like, when you got Ron Paul and Rand Paul saying that pretty much he would want to go to war too much, this guy, and it's good to defend our interests and all that kind of thing, if you will, and defend America. But my problem is, so many times, especially these, I guess you call them hawkish guys or whatever, you know, they seem to be part of that whole military-industrial complex that basically feeds off wars. And it seems like it's better to do what the president typically does, and that is, hey, let's talk, you guys. Let's do business, you know, that kind
and
of
let's
thing.
Let's do more than talk. Let's use our economic engine, the greatest in the world, to encourage companies to embrace treating their citizens properly, embrace free market ideas, embrace the principles that will, in the long run, bless them as well. Because if they get their economic engine in order, Kurt, just imagine a race of the best economic engines in the world. We could really do something significant here. So anyway, our prayers are we don't get somebody too hawkish. The sad part is everybody that Donald's looking at is an insider, Kurt. So there you go.
Well, that's right. But you could hope that maybe it's one less swamp monster. You know, Amen. The Hill has this piece. It says 5 takeaways on Trump's ouster of John Bolton. I haven't really reviewed it, but at least, you know, when they shake up things, hopefully we can get more of those swamp monsters out of there and more freedom lovers in there.
Amen to that. All right, if I were to say NBA legend, Kurt, who would you think of?
You know, right off, Kareem came to mind. Okay. Larry Bird comes to mind. Magic. I mean, Havlicek, Jerry West. I mean, those are just some ones real quick that would come to mind. And
all
Michael
right.
Jordan, of
there
course.
There you go. How about Michael Jordan?
John
He's in
Stockton.
The news again, Kurt. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. NBA legend Michael Jordan donates $1 million for hurricane relief in the Bahamas. As far as I understand, he's got property there and family, and he's been tied to the Bahamas for quite some time. And he saw the devastation, and tears came to his eyes, and he said, I got to do something. And I commend Michael Jordan for this. I'm sure they really need the support. I hope there's people on the ground that make sure they deliver the support properly. As we know, in Puerto Rico, the government did not deliver this support properly, and we wasted a ton of money. There's big articles about that disaster that went on. But I hope Michael Jordan can get people and assemble people on the ground with that $1 million and do some good. But this just goes to show, what if Michael Jordan were to throw down the gauntlet to all the big celebrities of whatever kind, whether they be rock stars or musicians or actors, actresses, or, you know, wealthy financiers or philanthropists or, you know, in sports, whatever fame brought to the table. What if Michael Jordan were to challenge these people and say, can you please put in $1 million? Can you please put in $1 million? And then what if we basically took all that and said, look, we've got actors and actresses that have created a $300 million fund, and we'd like to put it on GoFundMe and see if America could chip in $5. And just imagine, Kurt, what kind of money we could raise in the private sector with a proper promotion and advertising and public service announcements and everything else. I do believe the people of the Bahamas need the support, need the finances, need the infrastructure built and the philanthropy efforts being made. And I do believe that our efforts are really necessary and critical. But we could leverage churches. We could level the private sector. Leverage the private sector. We could literally quadruple down on this humanitarian aid thing like no other. And we wouldn't even need government to get it done with Michael Jordan's lead and example, Kurt. This guy's a big enough rock star or big enough legend to do it, isn't he?
Well, hats off to him, and, you know, couldn't agree more.
So. What if he got with Donald Trump and had lunch with Donald and said, Donald, I'm putting in a million. Can you put in a million? And Jordan and Donald get together, and they grab Dennis Rodman. And then pretty soon, you know, and you go right on from there. Donnie and Marie Osmond chime in, and pretty soon, you know, you got, just imagine what could happen. Anyway, that's just kind of where my mind gets full of, I think that Liberty Roundtable Live is a think tank of sorts, Kurt. And I wish I had enough money to make it happen. I'd do it. Of course, I can barely keep this radio network alive, you know. But there you go. Just saying. Good stuff, Michael Jordan. Thank you, sir. And I hope others help and create synergism for your cause. Kurt, I guess you want to talk about Utahns are fighting for reasonable cost on life-saving insulin.
Well, you know, I have a personal interest in this. We have a daughter that, you know, was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when she was 6, got to have her birthday in the hospital, et cetera. And, you know, now she's 20. And so, you know, it's been a number of years. But I was just interested because I was reading through this story. And, you know, I noticed that in the story it talks about how over the last, I think it's about 20 years, somewhere in that range, which is not exactly how long we've been dealing with it, but, you know, somewhere in there, that the cost that they charge people for insulin has increased about 1,200%. They did say in the article that the cost of making a little bottle of insulin is like $10, but, you know, basically they charge about $300 a bottle for it, Sam. And yet, as far as I can tell, if you, you know, step across the border, like into Canada or whatever, you can buy it for like, you know, $30, $35, something like that, which, it, you know, I mean, if it's a $10 item and you're charging $30, then, you know, that's a markup for you. But when you're charging $300 and the average, well, so much of it's having to be paid for out of government tax dollars, you can see why the president thinks we're getting kind of a raw deal, right?
Amen to that. They say that a diabetic, a type 1 diabetic, can't go more than 72 hours without insulin, but yet many of them are forced to ration the life-sustaining medication because of the skyrocketing cost. Now, what I find interesting about this, Kurt, what do you think needs to be done? I've got ideas, but what do you want done?
Well, I mean, just the thing that, at least to me, I mean, imagine if people really knew that the government's having to pay, well, you know, I mean, I think they're the biggest purchasers of it. You know, Medicare, Medicaid, and all that kind of stuff, that they're being charged, you know, close to $300 a bottle for it when, you know, it's manufactured for around $10 a bottle. You know, I think people would be kind of like, it's a little bit, you know, over the top. And, you know, you'd think there should be some other people, other competition there that would bring that price down. But I think in the pharmaceutical world, they like to kind of scratch each other's back, and they say, man, you do that one, we'll do this one, and we'll leave each other alone. We'll all make a killing.
And how do they get that done? And the answer is they pull the lever of government in their favor. We'll come back and talk about it. I'm Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. It's been 18 years since the 9/11 attacks, and there are events being held across America to remember that tragic day. President Trump and First Lady Melania are attending a Pentagon memorial at this hour. Vice President Mike Pence is at the Flight 93 memorial in Pennsylvania and in New York City.
Mark Francis Broderick.
Herman Charles Broghammer.
Events include the annual reading of the names of the victims out loud in Lower Manhattan. A ceremony at the 9/11 memorial will be going on for several hours. A hospital had to be evacuated after a tornado tore through Sioux Falls, South Dakota last night. That tornado hit as powerful thunderstorms and flash flooding were sweeping through the area. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm at the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C. with Dr. Barbara Natterson Horowitz, evolutionary biologist and physician.
There's a form of fainting that happens when people get stressed because the excitement triggers a slowing of the heart. Why this happened didn't make sense. The heart shouldn't slow down. The heart should speed up when there's fear. But what I've learned by working with veterinarians and learning about how animal hearts work is that young animals, when they are scared, sometimes their heart rates get very, very low, and that causes them to be very still. And when wild animals become very still, it often makes them safer from predators. One possible hypothesis is that slowing of the heart rate in response to fear in our species is actually an evolutionary echo from our vertebrate ancestors for whom the slowing of the heart was life-saving.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
The New England Patriots are to be back at practice today, but it's unclear whether the newly signed wide receiver Antonio Brown will be on the practice field with them. The defending Super Bowl champs had the day off yesterday, the day a woman filed suit against Brown, accusing him of sexually assaulting her. She claims Brown sexually assaulted her three different times in 2017, 2018, when she was his trainer. Yesterday was Apple's big annual event to reveal new products, and that included revealing the date its new subscription TV service will launch. CEO Tim Cook says some people won't even have to pay anything for it for a while.
When you buy an iPhone, an iPad, a Mac, or an Apple TV, you'll get 1 year of Apple TV Plus included for free.
The first shows from Apple Plus will be available on November 1st in over 100 countries. Remember, you can find us anytime online at usaradio.com.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So in my opinion on this diabetic scenario, a type 1 diabetic can't go more than 72 hours without insulin, the life-saving medication. Many of them are forced to ration their life savings, sustaining drugs because of the out of control cost. In other words, they can't use as much of it or they can't whatever. I challenge a bunch of factors in this story. I challenge the idea that they can't go more than 72 hours without it. I think there's other opportunities and other solutions. That's just my humble opinion to which I'm entitled. But I bring this up, though, because I think the answer, Kurt, is less regulation and less letting these pharmaceutical companies, you know, lobby the government for special protections and privileges at the trough. I think if you were to leave it to the free market, let Mexico sell drugs in the United States, or let people import these drugs and vet them for, you know, safety and then sell them too, there could be a way to not prop up these prices. In most cases, when this happens, Kurt, they call it price fixing. You know, you're not allowed to do that, they say. Well, I'm not really for price fixing, but I'm also not for the government stopping price fixing. In this case, though, what you got is the government protecting price fixing by regulation, Kurt.
Well, that's what I see, Sam. And you got to remember, I mean, you've taught us this for a long time. He who owns the media makes the rules. Now, as far as I know, there's no big pharmaceutical companies that are, quote, owners of media. But look who advertises on those entities. And I'm telling you, they spend huge money. And if you spend huge money with a media entity, I think the entity if they knew of a story that wouldn't be favorable to an advertiser, they'll kind of put that on the back burner or not even mention it at all. I see this headline that kind of goes with it. Big Pharma won't like Trump's next move after rebate rule is abandoned, investors fear.
Kurt, let me tell you how the Big Pharma does own the media, though. A lot of these big companies have these boards that people sit on. And so media people will sit on the boards of Big Pharma, and Big Pharma will sit on the boards of media. And they don't outright control them, but they do control them. Daily Beast, for example, wrote a headline that says this: Big Pharma is America's new mafia. That's what the Daily Beast wrote, and they're a liberal rag. Okay? Truth about the drug companies. Do you want to know? And it goes on and on. But I bring this up because I'm convinced that Big Pharma wields its power with the help of our government. Okay? They got government regulation at the helm of it all. Okay? And so, you know, you got the government literally assisting in this price fixing. And I don't know how much you know about how healthcare works, Kurt. But I've been involved in a lot of healthcare reality checks and discussions, and I know how it works. I don't know if you know this, but in the healthcare industry, for every service and every drug provided, Kurt, let me say that again, every service and every drug provided, there is a government code for pricing. So you got the retail price. That's when you walk in like an idiot and get, you know, abused, right? But then there is a government code that is the bottom price, if you will, for everything. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all right? And between those two numbers is what everybody pays, the retail number and the government number. And what happens is whenever you deal with any billing in the medical world, you deal with what I'm talking about. You deal with this reality, all right? Okay, for example, do you know what CMS.gov is? CMS, Charlie, Mary, Sierra. It is a federal government website, Kurt, managed and paid for by the U.S. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Anyway, in all this, my point is they have a price that everybody pays for everything if you're in government. So what happens is everybody negotiates between the retail price and the government price. Everybody tries to get the government price but can't. And so insurance companies and everybody else contracts for somewhere in between. And so then they pay out the contracted rates, and oftentimes it's Medicare number plus 100% or Medicare number plus 150% or and whatever it is, people then, you know, have to deal with those numbers. And the good folks understand how to negotiate this number down. If you can find out what those numbers are, then you can go in intelligently. If they want to charge $30 for something, retail, but the Medicare government number is $10 for that, the smart guy goes in and says, listen, the Medicare number is $10. Can I pay $12, $13, $14? What will you accept? 99 out of 100 times, you can instantly get a government number plus cost as opposed to a retail cost, but you got to know about it, and you got to ask for it, and you got to push for it. Okay, but nobody knows this, Kurt. Why? Because the media is in bed with Big Pharma, which is in bed with government, and they don't want you to know this website exists. They don't want you to know how the Medicare, Medicaid, how the billing systems work in healthcare. They don't want you to know those things. Well, the only people that are really exposing this that I can see, Kurt, are the Christian health sharing ministries. I don't mean to go off on this forever, but I happen to know a lot about it. As you can tell, I'm just talking from the top of my head out of the blue on this thing. But I'm telling you what the Christian sharing ministries are doing. For example, Liberty Health Share, they have created a system. I'm trying to remember what it's called, but it's like the blue book for pricing for healthcare services. Okay? And this blue book is what gives you what a good deal for something is versus what a bad deal is if you're a member, right? You can access this database thing. And Kurt, what's happening is that people are starting to use these things as kind of the guide of who do you go to when you need these things, right? Who do you go to find the price? And now people are going to this blue book And they're basically saying, oh, this company is charging a fair price. This company's charging too much. And it's starting to steer where you go for your health care. Okay. And I don't know how many people know about all that, Kurt. But I know about it.
I think there's very few, Sam, don't you think?
I totally think so.
The way the system works where, you know, with the whole insurance game and then the government game where you have a market that is messed up or screwed up or a snafu, if you will, because of players that shouldn't even be in the mix.
Okay, so Liberty Health Share has a new prescription health savings program, Kurt.
Uh-huh.
And Liberty Health Share has this blue book that I'm talking about. I'm trying to find the exact name of it because it slips my mind. I know it's the blue book, but there's an exact title of it. They say they're at the forefront of a much needed revolution in approach to health care.
Mm-hmm.
But liberty is just another word for freedom. Okay.
Yeah.
It's called the Healthcare Blue Book, and they got an app and a website that makes it possible, Kurt, for patients to search for, compare, and ultimately save on healthcare costs. The bottom line is they show you where to go to get good pricing, and et cetera, combined with their insurance program. These health-sharing ministries are creating a novel solution to the problem that you bring up in this story about insulin. And I'm telling you, they're doing the best job in the industry. That, meaning these health share companies, they deal with primarily catastrophic health care, Kurt. If you have a catastrophic problem, these people will share and cover a lot of your expenses. But believe it or not now, the latest trend in health care by those who are innovative is teaming up these health sharing services on the catastrophic level with what are called... I'm trying to look up the name here. I know what I'm talking about, but the names escape me. It's APC. And I'm trying to remember what APC stands for. But it's like something primary care. What is it? Let's see.
I know there's the guys that we talked with out of the Midwest.
Dr. Josh and crew is who I'm talking about.
Josh Ellenberger.
Anyway, they do what's called an APC or whatever. It's something primary care.
Well, you pay a certain amount per month, and that just means you have access whenever you want. And, you know, it's like 50, 60 bucks, you know, some type of deal. It's not hundreds and thousands like so many of the insurance programs are, you know. It's amazing, isn't it?
Anyway, I've reached out to Dr. Josh again, and he's tied up in a bunch of seminars and things that he's doing, but he's going to get back to me here in a couple of weeks, and we're going to have him back on. But there's the APC Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
The model works. Patients need it. Doctors need it. Employers need it. And all we got to do is turn the volume up on the message. Dr. Josh just emails me. But it's APC, something primary care. I'll look it up right now. But when we get back, I'll talk about how that's filling in the gap and how these are the answers to the problems that these folks are facing. The problem is these poor people don't know where to turn. The answer is less regulation from government. And more of these creative minds coming to the tables like Dr. Josh.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives? our liberties, our faith. To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
This is part of what happens when you do live radio, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, it's a DPC, not an APC. No wonder I couldn't find out what I was talking about. I'm doing all this from my memory is the problem, and so I had to look up what the heck APC. Well, anyway, it's DPC, which stands for Direct Primary Care. And Dr. Josh, who we've had on the radio before, and others have been working across the country to create DPC, Direct Primary Care Clinics. And what they do is they take a certain amount of money monthly from all the patients. And then what they do is with that money then, they help folks get service for all the nickel and dime small things. All in one shop where you don't have to pay. So you pay like, say, $150 a month or whatever it is. $70 an adult. $10 a child. Depending on how old the person is, it might be $50 an adult under a certain age. And then what they do is they'll see you and take care of everything. X-rays, all the internal things. Doctor visits, prescriptions, etc. They don't pay for the prescription, but they prescribe. They have telemedicine involved. They have all these different things. And so you pay monthly, and then when you go to the doctor, all you got to do is pay $10. And these direct primary care systems, in conjunction with, say, a Liberty Health Share, so the direct primary care for the local simple stuff, and then the Liberty Health Share on the big level, you got catastrophic covered and your local stuff covered. It's a tremendous, tremendous, I'm going to say it again, tremendous solution. But you know what? Big Pharma's against it. A lot of the physician organizations are against it. A lot of the Medicare, Medicaid systems are against it. A lot of the laws are against it. So, for example, if you have Liberty Health Share, you get an Obama exemption. Thank heavens to Obama, you don't need that so much now, hopefully. But they don't qualify for pre-tax money like insurance does. So, again, the disparity by this regulation is the problem. The solutions are on the table, but they're being opposed by these people for all kinds of reasons. And I'm telling you the answer is for people to learn about these alternative health solutions. And when a diabetic can't go more than 72 hours without their medication, but the costs are skyrocketing, there's a way to get government out of the way. Direct primary care and Liberty Health Share are two ways that people are making a tremendous difference because the individual has been taken out of their health care decisions. And therefore, the costs have just gone up and up. And I mean, it's been crazy town, right? Well, anyway, I bring all this up to say there are answers and there are solutions. And the first is for the government to create a level playing field by their laws, not reward some at the expense of others. Secondly, to get rid of a lot of the regulations. Why does government set the price for everything? And I highlighted this for everybody, right? But there are direct primary care organizations across the country, Kurt. And when we interviewed Dr. Josh, he pointed us to several of them. And I don't have them right in front of me right now, but there's maps. If you look up direct primary care, you'll find them. But there are maps all across the country helping folks know where you can find a direct primary care clinic near you. And believe it or not, employers are starting to now pay for these direct care or direct primary care clinics because the employer finds that it really decreases the cost of insurance. Now you don't need a full insurance plan that's like 80-20. And, well, 80-20 doesn't help me if I have a catastrophic $10 million medical bill. That means I, what, owe $2 million because it's 80-20 even after my deductible? I can't afford that. Forget it. But some of these other plans that you put in place with catastrophic insurance take care of a 100% if you reach a very high deductible, like $5,000 or two or three. But then you get this primary, direct primary care system in place, and now all the little stuff's handled. And now if I have a really big thing, for me to be on the hook for $5,000 or something like that, and then take care of it all, it's not the end of the world. So you create this coverage, but nobody's talking about these solutions. But I'm telling you, behind the scenes, quietly, these opportunities are growing like you wouldn't believe, Kurt. And it's so exciting to see, and we're going to work on it more. And Kurt brings up this incredible issue. What would you like to see done about it is kind of my question. And there's some of my answers. Now, I'm, again, just a one-man think tank. I don't know everything. But I've actually studied this for companies as a consultant and stuff like that. And I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. These solutions are abundant, Kurt. But people just don't know about them. But we need to make them popular. And that's what we intend to do on the radio. Any other tidbits from you on this, Kurt?
Yeah, just, you know, while we were talking, you know, about these different things, I've been looking through some ideas. I've got some relatives that, well, they're actually from Canada. And apparently, Sam, you can cruise up into Canada, or you can even have it shipped to you from out of Canada and save like 80% on it, you know. And, you know, so you just, at least to me, it doesn't make sense that, you know, it's so inexpensive there, and yet why is it so expensive here? Apparently, I was looking through a USA Today piece on it, you know, and they were talking about how, headline reads, struggling to stay alive, rising insulin prices cause diabetics to go to extremes. And it talked about a lady who basically, you know, had, she's a nurse and she had everything she needed for other people, but she didn't have enough insulin for her and she died there. But they say that it was interesting in the story. It talks about how Canadian scientists discovered insulin in 1921. They treated the first diabetic patient in 1922 and sold the patent to the University of Toronto for $3 Canadian. It sounds like when Ron Paul was working as a doctor and he'd get like $3 an hour or something like that. But the university, they say, administered the patent and received royalty payments from drug companies that sold human insulin. The price of modern versions of a drug that more than 7 million Americans need to live nearly tripled from 2002 to 2013, according to one study. They say type 1 diabetics paid an average of $5,700 for insulin in 2016. That's nearly double what they paid in 2012. That's according to the Healthcare Cost Institute. But, you know, you bring up these solutions, Sam, and I think there's a lot of them. Competition and, you know, that kind of thing. The free enterprise system is the American way to deal with this.
Kurt, I want to throw down the gauntlet to any of you naysayers that think Sam Bushman doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to health care, okay? Because I'll eat you alive. And I'm not trying to be offensive or that I know everything. I'm just saying I'm mad because this debate has literally shut down anybody at the table with real solutions, Kurt. They run around and tell you how broken health care is. But nobody is allowed to really speak out boldly. Ron Paul and Rand Paul, both physicians, have put together some tremendous solutions. Dr. Josh, these direct care or direct primary care clinics and organizations, these health sharing ministries, all these people have brought so many tremendous solutions to the table. This blue book for pricing on healthcare items. I mean, there's so many tools and so many things that are available to help people. But Kurt, nobody knows about them unless you study it like me. You know, I've studied it big time as a consultant for companies to help them understand the health insurance options and what you can do, what works, what doesn't, how well does it work. And a lot of people get frustrated with some of these health sharing ministries because they don't understand how they work, Kurt. So it's not like insurance. You have to be involved every day in your health care. Or things start to fall apart, meaning you don't get paid back for things or things don't get paid timely. But it's all because the patient needs to be at the center of it, all this. And fundamentally, society and employers and the insurance companies and the medical world at large has taken the primary person, that's the patient, out of the mix. then the prices, nobody cares about keeping prices down. It just ratchets up and up and up and up, and then the government regulates. And okay, inserting the patient at the center of this discussion, teaching them how it works. I mean, how many patients knew that you're charged retail if you don't have insurance? The insurance company pays whatever they contract for, unless you know what you're talking about, that there's a government number out there for every service. Find out what it is and negotiate that with a starting point. Look, all the Medicare and Medicaid patients pay this. I want to pay cash. What can I get it for? And people do that, and I'm telling you, they'll instantly get 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% off of every Medicare, or I'm sorry, every medical procedure, Kurt. Doctor's visits on up. There's an organization right this second, and again, I'm trying to do this all off the top of my mind. Usually I try to prepare for shows a little bit, so I have this all at my fingertips. But since you brought it up, I've just got to sound off on this is the problem. There are DPCs, direct primary care facilities, that you could pay like $125 a month for a family. Okay? And with $125, then you can get all these cares. You can get the telemedicine for free, meet with a doctor 24/7 for nothing. It's all part of this monthly fee for your family. You want to see a physician, $10. You can go to the Instacare. I mean, it's everywhere. And I don't have at my fingertips the name of these companies because, you know, they've got strange names like Meta. Let's see. There's one called Lehigh Primary Care Doctor. David Kimball's one of them, just locally, that I just looked up. There's Voyage Direct. There's Zenith Direct. There's Dr. Don Sanders. There's all kind of these examples. Okay? It's amazing. DPC Frontier is a website that'll give you a ton of information. I normally have this all at my fingertips, but I'm doing this on the fly. Okay? Hidden Family Medicine does this. Cotton Tree Family Medicine does this. Okay? It is taking the world by storm. A lot of people do what's called primary care plus Sedera. S-E-D-E-R-A, Kurt. If you don't want to do the health sharing ministries, there's Sedera, a total health care solution, they claim. Sedera.com. There's a ton of them. Kurt, there's a ton of them. There's Keystone Care. I mean, it goes on and on about these opportunities, and no one knows about them, Kurt. And I tried to create a healthcare summit, believe it or not, but nobody would help the GoFundMe to get it done, so it failed. I was going to go to Washington and surround myself with people like Dr. Josh and others to literally double down and highlight this, see if we could get Donald Trump or some congressmen or senators to help keynote the event as well. We could do so much if we just would, Kurt. Just imagine some of these DPCs on the simple level combined with one of these membership programs that I'm talking about, like Sedera or Liberty Health Share or some of these health sharing ministries or a catastrophic insurance plan. And then imagine if people were to use GoFundMe for the middle ground to kind of help. I can't meet my deductible. Can somebody help me with $2,000? Before you know it, 2,000 people put in a dollar and it's done. You could do this all over the country and we could have each other's backs, akin to the sharing ministries on the catastrophic level, akin to the DPCs and direct primary care facilities on the local and simple level. And buddy, you could create some just tremendous, tremendous solutions with affordable health care. I mean, you get reduced prices on everything. Anyway, all I'm telling you is it's tremendous opportunities. I digress. We'll get some people on that are even more expert than I. But I'm telling you, I'll debate anybody on this stuff. I'd like to take it national and have a massive healthcare debate and truly expose the stuff that seems to not get to the average American for some strange reason. Our prayers are that we can change this, ladies and gentlemen. Now that we've prayed hard for God to care for us, we're going to do our best and trust God for the rest. How's that? LibertyRoundtable.com, live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. For Sam and Kurt, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.